What are you doing?
Shh. From the moment you were born, there are voices telling you what is and what is not, what is true and what are lies, defining the parameters of the real world. This self-perpetuating, never-ending limit on thought and actions can only end if you free your mind. This is the Free Your Mind Show with Moose Girl and Grimnir. Sit back and listen and see your way beyond the world as it has been defined. Yeah, do that. Sit back and listen in. We're gonna tell you about some stuff today here.
Yeah, man.
I'm Grimnir, and my lovely co-host is...
Moose Girl. Yeah, I was going to say that. That sounds really scary, Grim.
Good, it should. It should.
The opening.
I'm glad to know that. Anyway, this is episode 3 of the Free Your Mind Show. And the title of today's show is Existentialist Mumbo Jumbo.
Hey.
We're going to talk a little bit about existentialism, as much as I know about it, which really isn't that much. I was never a big Sartre fan or Sartre. How do you say his name?
I think it's Sartre, but I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, and that guy.
Sartre, I don't know.
Yeah, what's that other person? I forget, Bouvier, something like that. Yeah, anyway, so that's what we're going to talk about. Now, we didn't do existential. That's not even a word, man. All right.
That's not how you spell it, man. I will put it in there.
Yeah, I know.
It won't let me.
Anyway, we didn't do a show last week. It won't let you.
No, it didn't let me copy it at first.
Okay. All right. So we didn't do a show last week. I had a computer thing going on, and so we didn't do a show last week, or else this would be episode 4, but it's not.
Right.
Oh, man. So, let me make sure everybody knows that we're actually on here because I see some other stuff going on. So, anyway, there's that. So I've been reading about this over the past week or so about existentialism. Mm-hmm. And I would be considered maybe a partial existentialist, not a full on existentialist. That's for sure. Leaning far more towards the nihilist end of things, although there's some overlap there in that. So let me just read to you a definition that I pulled up on the interwebs of what existentialism is. It's a noun.
Okay.
A noun. This particular noun in the philosophy category. There's other nouns that define it slightly different ways. Anyway, a philosophical theory or attitude having various interpretations, generally emphasizing the existence of the individual as a unique agent with free will and responsibility for his or her own acts. Great. I'm all good with that so far. Though living in a universe devoid of any certain knowledge of right and wrong, a little, still hanging with you, but a little bit less. From one's plight as a free agent with uncertain guidelines may arise feelings of anguish. See, I don't have those feelings of anguish. Existentialism is concerned more with concrete existence rather than abstract theories of essences. And there you lost me. Is contrasted with rationalism and empiricism and is associated with Kierkegaard, Heidegger, and Sartre, as well as others. So I'm partially there, because I absolutely emphasize and believe and follow, I guess, not really by any method, just the way it is. I think these things. The existence of the individual as a unique agent with free will and responsibility for his or her own acts. 100%, 100% there. Though living devoid of any certain knowledge of right and wrong, yeah, see, I got a little problem with that. Like I said, I'm partially into the things they use as existentialism, and partially not. But we have other stuff about it. But what would be your take on this existentialist ideals, concepts, series?
I mean, I agree with some of it, you know. Let's see here. It says here that it's a philosophy and a mindset that emphasizes human freedom and responsibility.
Yeah, see, I'm 100% there on that.
Right, and they... I can't say existentialist. Okay, there I said it.
Existentialist.
As existentialists posit that life has no predetermined meaning, so it's up to the individuals to create their own meaning.
Absolutely, I'm there on that.
I'm on board with that.
Sure, sure.
It says here that the history of the movement, it's a philosophical movement grounded in a particular historical context, and transferring its tenets to today's cultural moment means understanding what is meant when it's developed. It developed and flourished in Europe during the 1940s and 50s in a post-war context in which many people felt disillusioned with organized religion and society and felt like life had no real meaning or purpose. That's the history.
Right. Well, and I, you know, I'm pretty much there on that, because that kind of goes towards my nihilistic leanings.
Right. But it says here further down that it's not the same.
No, it's definitely not the same.
Remember, existentialism is not the same as nihilism. Nihilism states there is no purpose to life and there never can be, whereas existentialism says you make your own.
Which, like I said, there's some overlap going on.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. to me, the whole, there's a lot of different philosophies or whatever you want to call them that I buy into partially, Buddhism or Hinduism. Kind of on board with those, but when you get into some of the real guts of those things, then they go off in directions that I am not real comfortable with. But the overall, the big tenets of these things, I'm pretty much there.
I think it's kind of deep. It's really deep. I mean, you could go really deep on this subject. It's philosophy.
It's philosophy.
And philosophy is, you know, everyone understands certain things in a different way or whatever. I mean, it's so philosophical that it's kind of actually hard to talk about it. You know what I mean? Because you're like, what the hell? What is it? You know, it's just like a way of thinking, I guess.
Right. Yeah. It goes perfectly with the the title of this show here, Free Your Mind.
Mumbo Jumbo.
Oh no. The Mumbo Jumbo.
Okay. Oh.
That's just the episode.
Okay.
I mean the overall title of the show, Free Your Mind.
Oh, okay.
Existentialist Mumbo Jumbo. I put that in there because, you know, a lot of people read that and they go, well, what are these people talking about? You know, that there's, no real course or structure or design or purpose. Which,
right.
See, in that, and I go along with a lot of that, that there isn't an actual preset, determined path that you're following, and that you, as an individual, create your own path, your own future, your own truth.
Right.
Generated out of your own mind. But of course, then, when you do say, okay, this is my direction that I need to go. This is the things that I mm-hmm. believe in. Then also back to the existentialist views, opinions is that you will take the consequences of those, the responsibility for those, good mm-hmm. or bad, whatever that may be. But you will shape your own world based upon the things you believe, the things you do, and the things you say. A bit less to the things you say, because people say stuff, you know, and people are always
right.
saying stuff, and they may say the exact opposite tomorrow. But whatever,
right.
and that's no big deal, generally speaking, depending, you know, in this total cancel culture world that we're living in, there's a little bit
right.
more of a consequence. But the actions that you took, and some people might consider words as actions, but I really don't. Because unless you back up those words with actual actions, then the words were hollow and meaningless. And,
yeah.
You know, purposeless. So, looking at the world, looking at various things going on, and the importance they lay upon certain various, you know, just take the world today. Whether it's, you know, the corona bologna nonsense, the lockdowns, the vaccines, the crap going on at the border right now, this week, today. And people have very strong feelings and will take strong actions about the things that they think and believe. For example, the ones that will call you out for not wearing a mask or talking badly about vaccines. Which, by the way, I have some sad news.
Okay.
I guess, I don't know, maybe it's not sad yet, I don't know. My friend Jeannie, I've talked about her right here.
Uh-huh.
Few, you know, not this show, but other shows, several times.
Right.
Anyway, she has decided to get the vaccination.
Okay.
And I was talking to her yesterday, and she uh-huh. said, and she's like, you know, she knows me, and she knows what I think about vaccinations as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so she prefaced it with, I'm very excited about this. I really want this. And so I have nothing more to add to the things I've said to her in the past.
Right.
And she, you know, at least seemingly was believing or agreeing with the things that I'd been telling her about the vaccinations.
Right.
And so the only thing I added to her yesterday, because this is
uh-huh.
a different kind of, quote, vaccination, unquote.
It's not a vaccine. I believe it's not a vaccine.
Right,
but.
Right. Of course. But that, and so
yeah.
that's why I added,
right.
this shot will modify your DNA.
Yeah.
And she's, well, that's all right. My DNA is not very good in the first place. I'm like, oh, my God.
What?
That's
okay.
what she said. And you know, I can understand from all the fear and scare tactics being used.
And the peer pressure, dude.
Well, and that, but, you know, she's had cancer. And
yeah, I wouldn't be chancing it. I just don't know what it is.
You know, but since she survived the cancer and a lot of the fear talk over people that have had cancer that, you know, that this Corona will kill you if you had cancer. Yeah, me too, Kate. Kate said she's happy her cancer's not recurring.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I'm glad about that.
So, anyway, so people will, like I said, they'll take, strong actions based upon their thoughts and beliefs and how much they think what's going on here in this three-dimensional physical world actually affects things in the long run. Yeah, no, thanks, Kate. Yeah, she's fine. She survived the freaking cancer, man, and she was at a stage 4. That's what they told her, and they gave her treatments, of course. She did do the weed that I instructed her, or told her was a good idea. She did do the baking soda, which I strongly
mm-hmm.
suggested as well, and she did do the Rick Simpson oil. So she did a lot of the right things, which could counteract the nasty chemical stuff that they were doing to her. She lost all of her hair, but it's all back now. And
uh-huh.
She's doing fine. You know, they got a new dog. Cooper. And so, yeah. Anyway, I didn't really want to get too far off onto that. I was just throwing that in there as talking about people's actions. But, you know, like you see all these people all up in arms over all this bad stuff happening at the border. Then fix it. Why is all that bad stuff going on?
They don't know what to do about that. They know. They're overwhelmed.
Well, because they set up a trap, and then all of the little whatever rodents were drawn to the bait there, and they're still being drawn and strongly, regardless of what's going on there. That's just one thing, you know.
Right.
Of course, you know, there's all this other stuff. Like I said, those people that just get so upset when you're out in public and you're not wearing the thing across your face, which...
No one has ever said a word to me about it. Like, well, one's come up to my grill and said, why aren't you wearing a mask? I've gotten some sideways looks, but no one's ever... I go into mindset, like, I dare you to fucking say something to me, you know?
And nobody's ever said anything to me here either. Other than the one time, and it wasn't about me not wearing a mask, but when I was at the post office, and the old guy fell down, and I grabbed him and picked him up, and I told him, hey, you got to take that mask off. They say, the post office lady said, oh, no, he has to have the mask. So and it was like, he's not able to breathe. Look at him.
Right.
So they never said anything to me about not having the mask, but they said something to me about telling somebody else to get rid of the mask. So, So, and I do when I go into the grocery store, I put one on in there, just because they have a big sign right in front of the door, big old sign, handwritten. The governor says we have to do this or we'll be fined. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. And so I said, all right, give me one. Anyway, so whatever. I'll do it because I don't want my grocery store fined.
Right.
I like
it. Are they actually finding people there, finding businesses
Are they
patrolling the grocery stores and going in there?
I don't know, but I've heard stories on the news where this company got fined or that company got fined. For not enforcing some kind of mask bullcrap. So whatever. So, yeah, I mean, New Mexico is still pretty much on full lockdown. I know it's far different than other states, like directly to our south in Texas. Nothing. They got nothing. There's no 6 feet. There's no anything,
right.
You know. Nobody's stopping people from wearing masks should they want to. And stores can still have the corona, you know, whatever social distancing crap if they want. That's totally up to them. So you can't go into that store unless you follow the store's rules. But it's not, you know, anyway. So, yeah, you know, anyway, you could pick anything, you know, this election,
right.
Election nonsense that happened, whatever it is in the world, wherever it is, and by you, I mean everybody in the public, not public, just in the world, call it public because that's a governmental terminology, which I try to steer away from as much as possible. Because of the masses of them believing and buying into the propaganda, they allowed for these lockdowns and all this stuff to happen. Because even if the government said we mandate all this stuff, if nobody did it, it wouldn't have happened. So people did, at that point in time, create their own realities, create their own truths. And their truths were, you know, reflections of somebody else's truths at that point, of course, because they were being told all this nonsense and believed in the truth, I guess, that they were being told, which was not truth, but they believed in the truth of the authorita,
Right.
And so they created a reality for the rest of the people within their communities, wherever they were, about to cause that these kind of things to happen.
I don't know if this happens. This happens to me with this vaccine thing. This vaccine. I really actually cringe when I hear people feel happy about getting it and bragging about getting it. I really cringe, dude.
I do too.
I have a physical reaction to it. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't know. I don't see how people can just blindly trust this thing that they're basically testing it on the people that are getting it. And they're calling it a vaccine, and they know damn well it's not. I called into Clyde, Monday or something, and he says now there's a new one that Johnson & Johnson has made, and I trust them not at all either.
That's good.
So, I mean, even if they say it is a vaccine, even if it is a vaccine, the vaccines aren't good. They haven't been for a long time. I mean, even the polio freaking shot, like we talked about in the other show.
Right.
It gave people cancer.
Right. Well, and Johnson & Johnson.
And they've admitted it now. Yeah.
Johnson & Johnson themselves are responsible for causing cancer to many people through their baby powder.
Baby powder.
Right.
Yep.
And they just paid a fine. They knew what was happening.
They're not trustworthy, right?
Well, no, none of them are. You know, they're all, you know.
No.
But and looking at this site here called silife.org, the spiritual life, this follows right along to what we were talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
It says that existentialism is a tradition of philosophical inquiry which takes as its starting point the experience of the human subject, not merely the thinking subject, but the acting, feeling, and living human individual. So this goes more, far more, of course, not that these people weren't, or most people aren't thinking subjects, but they are acting, feeling, and living human individuals. And so they create,
right.
they create the reality around them. By doing the things that they do, whatever those may be. Sorry,
right.
I'm distracted there for a second. Anyways, okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Like this article I have about the mRNA, and it was the official, like, PDF thing.
Right.
I don't know what they call it, you know, data sheet or something, a report of some sort. But they're basically, they admitted it in that, they are testing it. Because from the report, the first test to even start analyzing data won't be until mid-2021.
Yeah.
And this is called the Adverse Effects of Messenger RNA Vaccines.
Right.
And it's right there.
And of course...
Go ahead.
Of course, by the time they get around to testing it, it'll be too late for the majority of people.
They'll be like, oops, you got sick. Oops, you got fucked up from it. Oops.
Yeah, I mean, because by mid-June, by the time they even get to starting the study, billions will have already received... Some form. Some form of one of these shots,
right?
Whatever that may be, whether it's one of the three approved, not really approved, allowed for U.S. versions, or the ones that are coming out of other countries. China's got their own version. Russia has their own version. Some other countries have their own stuff too, and then some of the stuff that they're doing this testing with. Experimentation with on the U.S. Mm-hmm. people has already been banned in several other countries. The AstraZeneca one, a lot of countries have just pulled that straight off, said, nope, this is causing too much damage to people.
The one that was giving people blood clots.
Yeah, yeah, because that's the immediate damage they can see.
The immediate effects, right.
Right, and the long-term effects,
Are yet to be known.
Well, and we're never going to hear about them because they'll lie.
No.
They'll lie about it all. Oh, well, I don't know why all these people are suddenly sterile.
Right.
Yeah, sure you don't. Oh, boy.
I mean...
But
I don't know. It's well, yeah.
But as the topic here, because there is a lot of mumbo jumbo in the whole in any philosophy, whatever philosophical ideals you're looking at or concepts, there is a lot of mumbo jumbo in it, depending on how deep you want to get into it. So you can, take key points of various philosophies and say, well, that sounds like what I think. That sounds like what I believe.
Okay, well, here's a list. I have a list.
Okay, let's have it.
Okay, this is from theguardian.com.
Okay.
Anyway, scroll to the top. Okay, think big, be free, have sex.
Yeah, do those.
10 reasons to be an existentialist.
Okay.
One is existential. I hate this word, by the way. I cannot say this word.
Repeat after me. Existentialism.
Existentialism. I can say that. It's the existentialist.
From an M to a T,
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, they are philosophers of living. Number two, they really care about freedom. Number three, some have interesting sex lives.
Okay? Yeah.
Doesn't that apply to everybody? Some of us have. Anyway,
yeah.
As existentialists, tackle painful realities. As existentialists, try to be authentic. As existentialists, think it matters what we do and may stay up all night arguing about it. Existentialists are not conformists. Existentialists can be fun to read, like books that they've written or watching them, I suppose. Existentialists also write about unconventional subjects. And number 10, existentialists think big.
Okay.
So no, those things aren't really bad.
No, I'd say they're anything bad. It's just some things I don't necessarily aren't my way of thinking. But,
right.
I
mean, when you point out those parts of it, you can say, well, interesting sex life, that wouldn't be bad.
No, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Of course, interesting is one of those words.
Subjective.
That's one of those words. Yeah, like the old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times.
Right, yeah.
It's a curse.
A good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're certainly living in interesting times, and thanks for that. Oh.
Right.
Yeah. yeah, so those are the things. I'm not going to stay up all night arguing over stuff people are doing.
Right.
And because that says that existentialists think that what people do is important, and I'm going to have to, not so much.
Right.
Yeah, because. I as far as tackling painful realities, I don't know if I tackle them so much as make jokes about them, a lot of the painful realities that are going on.
I mean, I guess it's a way of just looking at life.
Yeah, because, reality is, again, configurable. Let's put it that way. Just because you see something and say, okay, that color is blue, that's a reality, is it? Let me shine a different light on it and see what you see, because that blue may suddenly be green or yellow. So it's not really a reality. Existentialists think it matters what we do and may stay up all night arguing about it. Nah, that's, I mean, I understand that there are people that do that. We have some here that come in and out. Yeah, is that right? Unless you, well, and because the color itself is merely a reflection. So, and mm-hmm. and that color, because yeah, Kate's saying unless you're colorblind. It's a reflection that is modifiable by other things, so it's not technically blue. I did this drawing course thing one time about mm-hmm. perspectives and how to draw things, you know, from different perspectives to make it look to the viewer as it is. But if you just looked at it as a flat, you know, 3D type objects, you know. So if you looked at those things that you may see as a ball or a table or whatever, you know, you think, okay, that's a rectangular table, but just looking at the drawing, it's certainly not a rectangle that you're drawing in order to make it look like a rectangular table to the people viewing it.
Right.
So there's a lot of perspective
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of perspective in the various things that shape and create your realities.
Right.
Yeah.
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 I mean, like if you said, okay, look at this pen. This is just a pen. But it's also a writing utensil, right?
Right.
And you could say it can be used for many other things, and because it can be used to write words. I mean, I suppose I could poke somebody's eye out with it.
Sure.
And it could be used as a weapon, but at the end of the day, still a frickin' pen.
It's still a frickin' pen.
You could go around and round saying how it's not a pen, or it's something else other than a pen, but you would have to come eventually back to it's a pen.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's just like common sense and reasoning, and why even discuss it? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, some people want to, like, well, yeah, it's a pen, but what are you going to do with that pen? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, it's a pen, all right?
Yeah.
You know, this thing over there, that's a lamp, a light. It shines light, it illuminates an area so I can see better. That's what it does, and it's still a light, though.
It's still a light.
Yep. I mean, you could go, but you could get all crazy and all philosophical and go, well, it's a light, but you could think of the light as a metaphor. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And you're like, okay, well, what about it? Well, it's shining light. Don't you understand? It's illuminating, you know, okay, but it's still a freaking light.
Right.
You know, doing its job. If I want real light, I'll go outside when it's sunny out.
Okay, well, right? there you get into real, so.
Right, real or fake. Because the lamp light is not real light. Right?
Well, I don't know that it's not, I mean, that depends on how you define the real. I mean, if it's dark and you turn a lamp on that's operating properly, then some light will be emitted from that device and you'll have light. Is it real? It allows me to see better.
Yeah,
it's
real
said.
That way, right? But
right.
It's not man-made light. It's machine-made light.
Yeah, it's not
right?
Natural light.
Right, natural light. That's what I meant, natural okay. light. Okay.
So, yeah. In this, I mean, have you ever thought, I mean, about these kind of things? Have you spent time wondering, do you think in existential manners, or do you have a different set of beliefs that you follow, or?
I don't think I'm as existentialist. I don't think I am one.
Okay.
If that's what you're asking.
Well, yeah,
Like, the golden rule for me, you know, treat others how you want to be treated. Okay. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but that's, yeah, that's...
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, like I said, when I was reading through it, some of these are my beliefs and some are not.
Right.
And so... but I'm a little more esoteric, I think, than most folks.
Yeah.
I you know, and as I've explained before, that I don't, you know, I think that none of this stuff that we're here, that we're living through, none of this is really real, and none of it really matters. Which kind of takes me down towards the nihilist thing, but when I read through the whole nihilist stuff, I'm not one of those exactly either.
Right.
So, I'm not a doom and gloomer, that's for sure. Although I do enjoy the doom and gloom style stuff, which is,
right,
I guess, different than some people that they don't... They take the doom and gloom and go, oh, no. And I go, yeah, let's bring it on, man. Let's have some of that. So, what would you say your life's philosophy?
I guess realism.
Okay.
You know, like, it's a pen.
It's a pen. This is a desk.
Yeah. I mean, let's not go too far overboard here and, like, word sell and everything to death, because you still come back to the same result when you're done discussing it, you know?
Right. But you think, I'm pretty sure you've told me, that you do believe that you are just a passenger in the human skin suit.
Yeah.
Right. And so you were around well before that, and you'll be around well after that. And you may inhabit another skin suit at some point.
Right.
So there's a little conflict there with those that would consider themselves to be realists that believe you're born through a you know, this chemical process. You live, you know, as long as your human lives.
Right.
And when you die, you just decay in the dirt. Or, you know, whatever happens to you after that. But yeah. but they don't, I mean, they think this is it. One life per human. and that they are the human. They believe that they are the person and not the one that's just, you know, riding along
right.
The person and instructing the person on how to do.
All we know is we live and die. Everything else is just fate. I don't know. I don't know about that one, Vinny.
What's Vinny saying? All we know is you live and die. Everything else is just faith. Oh, well.
Faith in what, though? Yeah.
Faith in things you can't necessarily prove, I guess.
I guess.
I think that's the direction there on that. But you can take, you know, these... these various philosophies, existentialism,
right.
existentialism, or whichever you prefer, and
mm-hmm.
and apply it to the world around you, to the things you're seeing and living in, and see how others that obviously, but a lot of people. Don't think too deeply. They don't go too far.
Right.
Be beyond what they're told or what they can see and touch. But you can. And I would not say you should, but I say it might be beneficial to you if you did. Try and comprehend things beyond the physical, beyond the 3D realm. Of the life that we're living here on this little planet in this little solar system in the galaxy in the universe. Because there's a good possibility, a highly strong possibility that none of this actually exists beyond some code in some operating system somewhere. And that all of this that we see, that we can touch and feel, is all part of a program.
I think we're all a mixture of some of them, because there's so many, like, philosophies. You know what I mean? There's so many of them.
Sure.
That I think, what you said, you know, we all have a little bit of all of them. And some have more than another or whatever.
Right.
So.
I have a lot of that, Vinny. I have a lot of faith. I have a lot of faith that none of this is real. Yeah.
So you're just asleep?
Oh, no.
You're watching a movie?
You're watching
yourself in a movie?
No. But you could think of it that way. You could think of it in the way of like, The Matrix. Where all of those people were asleep, but they were living in a world. They didn't know they were asleep. They're living in a world. Or think of it like Avatar. Those people knew that they were not the critter that they were crawling around in or running around in, but that they were back in a chamber somewhere, and controlling it with their brain from that space. So you could think of it in one of those ways, if you wanted to, but more probably closer to The Matrix. Or, as Hal says, The Matrix is not a movie. So I think that would be the closest approximation, except for the fact that when those people were pulled out of The Matrix, they were still there as physical three-dimensional things. And, you know, some of the, I don't know how far you down into The Matrix you dug. There was a war between the machines and the humans and all that, and the machines won, and then they'd use the humans as batteries to run their thing, but in order to make it so that the humans didn't just die being hooked up to the thing, they created the virtual world because they realized that humans needed that kind of interaction in order to keep going.
So
that would be the separation, because for me, or the way I think, is when you're pulled out of this matrix, that's when you die, you're not there in this physical three-dimensional type thing. You're energy. Mm-hmm. You're energy, just energy.
Okay.
But you could also, at that time, create your own little Matrix style world to your own liking if you desired. If you didn't want to, say, just float around the universe as pure energy, or if you didn't want to jump back into this Matrix world, you could at that point create your own little reality, whatever that was, from your energy form and take part in that.
Interesting.
I told you I'm a bit esoteric on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit.
Right.
Just slightly. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I wonder, about other people. I can't do anything about other people. I can only do about me.
Yeah, no, I mean, all you could do with another person is you talk to them, try to reason with them, show them the things that you believe in strongly, what you think, if they're not already on that path, and that's it, because everybody's going to decide on their own what's the good, the bad, and the ugly, right?
Right.
So,
you can't control... people try to control you by saying, well...
Right, and all
this,
I...
that, another thing, but,
All I want them to do is free their minds.
Right.
Free their minds! Free your minds!
And have an open mind. Like, Christ's sake, you aren't done learning, ever. You never stop learning.
Yeah, well, what was it?
I have that philosophy that I'm always, there's always something I could learn, stand to learn or whatever, you know.
What was it that Bob Marley said?
Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds.
There you go. That is absolute 100% unadulterated truth.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can try and help people, tell people anything you want, but...
You can't control other people. You can only control you.
Yeah.
Other people, you are unable to control them because, for one thing, you shouldn't be trying to control somebody, you know?
But you do have to realize that other people are trying to control you.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of manipulation that goes on. There's a lot of information that comes at everybody at the speed of light.
Right. You're being targeted from all sides at all times.
Right, right. And it's, you know, it gets to be like, oh, my fucking God. You know what I mean? Like, enough. Stop.
Yeah. So... And I think, because I don't think we've ever gotten down this far, but if you sink yourself into the minutiae of life here, then you're not going to be able to free your mind, and you're probably going to be freaking out about all kinds of various things, and that's where the control part comes in, is once you allow them to sink their ideas into your head as a truth or as a fact or as a reality, then they will be able, since they gave you the initial information, to steer you into the direction of action that they prefer, that they desire.
That they want you to take.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, to their desire. So at that point, you become less of a free mind, a free individual, and become more of a drone or a clone of whatever their agenda may be, and they can use you at that point, and they'll be siphoning off your energy for their own benefit. Do you want that?
No. No, I don't.
Yeah.
They need to leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Yeah,
I can make my own decisions for myself. I don't need some authority figure to tell me to do what to do and what not to do, or watch over me, or take care of me. Or I don't need none of that from them.
Right, but see, it is it's very comforting to have people saying, this is what's right, this is what's wrong, this is what you need to do. Because at that point, you could just shut your head off, shut your brain off. It's comforting, but it's a false comfort.
Right.
And to have somebody else always pulling your strings and holding your chain, that means that you are dependent upon them for whatever,
right,
whatever it is, whatever direction you take. And so if you think, well, can I do this? And then you have to frame it within the boundaries of what you've been told are right and wrong and true and false.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just know their history. Like, do people seriously, they don't think of the past, they don't think of history, the biggest thing they don't want to own up to or admit, and I've said this so many times, is that they don't want to admit they're being lied to, and they've been lied to majorly their whole life, and they just cannot unwrap their mind around, or wrap their mind around that.
Right. Well, see, and the thing about the history is most of it is false. There's truths within it, but most of what you've been told has happened is a lie.
well, you have to go looking for the truth. It's not going to come knocking on your frickin' door.
No, it's not.
You have to go looking, seeking it out. You have to look up the old stuff. You have to go back, do your own research on everything.
Sure, sure.
You know, in order to, but most people don't want to do that. They don't give a shit. They're too wrapped up in their lives, and they just, it's easier just to go along than to get, you know what I mean?
Right.
For a lot of people, that's what they want to do. They just want to go along. They don't want to ruffle any feathers. They just do what they're told. You know, I don't understand that, but.
Well, like I said, it's the comfort thing. It makes everything feels
right.
Safe and easy. And.
But at the same time, Grim, they want us to be afraid.
Right. Well, that's
they
the thing.
They want us to be afraid.
And that's the one of the big control mechanisms.
Yep. Fear.
Yeah. Fear.
There's this deadly disease out there. Oh, yeah, right. That's why there's no biohazard waste bins for these fucking masks and gloves that you want us all to fucking wear. You know? Come on. If it's that deadly, why isn't it being treated as like a super deadly thing, right?
Right.
I mean, really? You get they're a lie? They fell short, dude. They didn't sell it hard enough for me.
No, well, see, the thing is, if
they sold it hard enough for the majority of people, but
right, but the thing is, and as I've seen on many a meme, if this was a real pandemic,
yes,
we would not need to be told it and sold it.
Right.
Well, it would be evident. It would be everywhere.
Yeah, but, it would be everywhere. People would be. You would see people collapsing in the street and dropping dead.
Well, whether you saw that
or whatever, turn into a zombie. What, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, whether you saw that or not, you would at least personally know somebody that it happened to.
Well, I know people that tested positive for it, but they weren't hospitalized from it.
Well, no, because
they had a positive COVID test.
Yeah,
that's all they. I know. That's all they knew. They weren't really actually sick. And if they were, it wasn't COVID.
But the tests are bogus, too.
Right.
So
you can't trust the numbers. You can't trust the test.
A positive COVID test means absolutely nothing if it's a bogus test.
Right. Right. Exactly. If it's a false positive or whatever.
Yeah. Well, there, you know.
So.
If there's no virus, then they're all false positives. So,
right.
And we don't know for sure whether or not it is a real virus.
We don't know. I mean,
you know, we've been told time and time again, oh no, it's real. But then when you look at the actual tests, they never actually proved. They never isolated the virus. They've never isolated it. So,
right.
So it can't.
And now they're going, oh, there's variants now.
Right. Oh, yeah, all kinds of variants.
And the vaccine, quote-unquote vaccine, doesn't, you know, take into consideration those variants. It's like, get over it already. Come on.
Or some do.
And they do that with the flu, too. They did that with the flu shot. Well, it's for some of the strains of flu.
Right.
But we don't know which one strain's going to get here. But take this shot anyway. Just in case one of the strains that it covers, it comes along.
Exactly.
It's like, I think I'll take my chances, thank you.
Absolutely. because even if it were real, using some of their later numbers, not the earlier numbers where they were trying to scare the hell out of you. But,
right.
But some of their later numbers where they showed that, okay, well, the survivability of this virus is 99.993%. Meaning only 0.0007 are actually going to have a problem. That are going to die from it. And those people that die are mostly like 75 plus.
Right.
Or they had severe complications.
Underlying conditions.
Yeah, that they could have died from anyway. So. Yeah.
The mask thing. I just it.
Well, all of it. All this.
Yeah,
all this
of
nonsense.
It. It's just.
And that's just the biggest, latest thing, the destruction of all the companies, the ending of so many people's jobs. the going after the folks that aren't believers or speak out against the virus or the vaccinations or the providing alternate methods of fixing your body, your health, like vitamin D. Who was the guy that was talking about that recently and they're shutting his ass down? Because, no, you can't have no vitamin.
Right.
Vitamin D is bad. No, and they didn't say it was bad, but basically they
right.
said, you're spreading bad news.
Yeah, whatever.
Fake news. To now this, the COVID passes, because that's now being pushed.
Right.
And will become a reality.
I hope not.
Well, I already heard it is in a lot of places over in Europe and now in Canada, of course, any of the Queen's territories, so Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, Scotland, all those. And maybe it won't be for everything, but it'll be for most things. Like if you want to go to a concert.
Right.
Where's your COVID pass?
I'll have to forge one.
Right. Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty of fakes out there available.
Black market for the fucking COVID pass.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because I'm not doing it. It's my body. It's my choice. I don't want your shit in me. I can't even imagine it. Going to the FEMA thing and getting a shot. Like, fuck you.
Right.
Come on.
I know.
And then people look at, I don't want people to ask me if I got a shot or not. Okay? Because if I did or didn't, it's nobody's business but mine.
Oh, no, you need to be loud.
No, it's not even the government's business. They can fuck off.
Yeah, you need to be loud and proud about getting the shot. You got to post your shot up there on your social media and say, look at me, aren't I great? I got my
shot. I did my part.
I'm doing my.
Yay me. Now give me a heart, a thumbs up or a like or,
gold star.
I'm so great. I went and got the shot. It's like, really?
Yeah, virtue signaling.
Are you going to be singing that song 5 years from now?
Virtue signaling.
When you have fucked up shit because you got that?
Oh, well.
It'll
be applied. It'll be because of some new unknown virus that came along. It won't be because of the shot.
No, they'll wait 50, 70 years to release that finding like they did with the polio thing.
Right.
Oh, guess what?
What?
Back in the day, when most of the people that got the goddamn thing are dead already.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for giving my relative cancer from your fucking polio shot. And they used the same tactics back then as they do now. It's now no different.
Right.
It's no different. The signages that they put up, the commercial, back then they didn't have TV, or whenever it was. Any of these vaccines, they do the same thing.
Yeah.
Same with voting and joining up for the military, right? We want you.
Yeah, Clyde.
Do your part for freedom.
Right. Yeah, a lot of very 1984 stuff.
Right.
Peace through unity, unity through peace, unity through peace through unity, unity.
Everyone has to do their part.
Acceptance or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up here.
Okay.
I think we've covered existentialism.
Yeah, that was kind of a boring subject, actually.
To a very small degree. We've covered existentialism to a very small
right.
degree. But
right.
I think it's a good thing for people to look into and try and see, do they fit into that ideology or do they fit into something else? You
right.
said, you're more along the realist thing, and
right,
and I am not.
you kind of are, I think.
Well, I am and I'm not. Okay,
right.
Like I said, with a lot of these different philosophies that are out there, some of it.
Right, and we all have more than one. You can't just say I'm only this.
Yeah,
even
if it's a philosophy you created yourself,
right?
You probably cover a wider expanse than than what it is you decided is this is my way of thinking. So,
right.
Anyway, thanks everybody.
Yeah. Thanks everyone
for tuning in. We'll be back next Wednesday, Thursday.
Thursday.
Same bat time, same bat channel. Tomorrow you got Vincent Easley with American Dissonance at 1 p.m.? Noon Eastern? 1 p.m.
I
Eastern.
I think
yeah. 1 p.m. Eastern. So tune in for that. I don't know what his topic's going to be, but check it out. On Saturday is the Redneck Dentist at 5 Eastern with what's his show called?
The Redneck Dentist.
Okay, it's just called The Redneck Dentist. Noon Central, 1 Eastern, okay.
Yeah.
Don't give me that Central crap, man. And then on Sunday is I'll be playing blues in the morning, starting at noon Eastern. Then comes Hal at 3 Eastern and Gary L. and Gigi's Boo at 5 Eastern. So that's a good day of broadcasting. Check the schedule over there on RealLibertyMedia.com for the rest. I'm not high. I wish I should. Oh, well, I don't generally get high until late in the evening, but... that's another topic that doesn't need to be discussed here. oh, man. All right.
All right, you all.
Talk to y'all later.
Yep.
Peace.
Peace.